Blog Talk Radio.
Well, hello and welcome, everyone. Good morning to Preacher Bill and the Gospel Hour message. This morning's message is going to be on prayer, commandment, sin, and preserve. Those are the three words that I put after prayer, and I'm going to explain that to you as we go through the message this morning. But I want you to have the scriptures so you can follow along. I use the King James Bible. I hope you do as well. But these are the scriptures that I'll be using. Luke 18:1, 1 Samuel 12:23, and Philippians 4:6. So if you can at least put your finger in on Luke 18, verse 1, that's where we'll start. And I'll give you time to do the others later. And then, of course, I have one last one, which is Matthew 6:33, and I'll go through that as well. But for this morning, we're going to start out with Luke 18:1. Before we do that, I have prayer requests and I have a song I want to play. So while you're doing that and others are finding their way here, getting themselves set up for this morning, I thank you for being here and God bless you and welcome for coming out. The songs this morning that I have for you, let's see, the first one is going to be, I have to go find it. Give me a second. It's What a Mighty God We Serve. It's the first song I have. And then I will get back to you and we'll do prayer and then we'll get right into the message. Thank you for being here and God bless you. Have a mighty God, and he takes care of us all the time. Folks, I want to explain some things to you today, but before we get into all of that, we're going to do the prayer request that I've written down. I'm going to add a few as we go through because I got some from one of my travels from the last couple of days. But we have prayers for some people that are going to need them in the future. One is our brother, Reverend Black. He does a motorcycle ministry. He does a ministry, we'll just put it that way, where he reaches out to the motorcycle crowd and a bunch of others as well. I mean, it's not the only thing he does. Brother Black has had some eye surgery. He had one eye done. He's going to have the other one done this coming month in August. Please pray for Rita Thrasher. Rita Thrasher has had a stroke. She's a good friend of mine, been a friend of mine online for some time. She wasn't doing well. She told me the other day I saw a post and she said that she was doing much better. She's under a lot of stress all the time and Rita's no young girl, but she's no old lady either. Trust me. She's got a lot of spirit left in her. So please pray for Rita. Pray for Mark Warren. Mark Warren was going through some health issues and he's finally been able to eat after a long time with not eating. Pray for Michael Wagner. Michael Wagner's my cousin's son. He posted the other day he had his MRI done, and it came back with bad news. I won't go into all the details, but Mike has suffered with cancer and some other issues within his brain. And he was doing good. Everything was going along fine. All of a sudden, the MRI come back with some things that have to be checked out by neurologists. Sandy Washer, who's always sending me prayers every week, has sent me some prayer requests, unspoken requests for a woman. That has some complications with a pregnancy. Oh, no, sorry. I'm sorry. That wasn't Sandy. That was Susan Barnes. I was getting ahead of myself. Sandy Washer asked for prayer for Brenda, Brenda's mom is the one that wasn't doing well, that had, I believe it was stage 4 cancer. So they moved her mom into hospice. There was a struggle there because mom didn't want to go, and finally mom agreed to go. So pray for Brenda's family as they deal with this, and that it would draw the Lord closer, draw them all closer to the Lord, because they need the strength of God right now. This is a tough time for them, having to watch their mom go through that. And hospice has said that it's only a matter of time. They're just waiting for her to go home to be with the Lord. Joanna Burwell asked for an unspoken request. There's some prayers that I have for myself. My friend Ken Smith down in Connecticut, I met him. He's a veteran. We were talking yesterday with some of the other guys that are around him. One particular man, his name is Dennis. He needs the Lord in his heart. He's accepted Jesus Christ, but he's certainly not living like he accepted Jesus Christ. So whether he accepted it and he was real at the moment or not is between him and God, and that's his heart. But please pray for Dennis. Dennis, I got to talk to Dennis, and Dennis was having a struggle with some issues. But Dennis, just like all of us folks, none of us come to God without any problems. We all have a past. We all have a history. We all have some kind of something went wrong in our life, some sin that drew us to God. And God was calling us, and that's why when we go and we ask for salvation, he's faithful and just to forgive us, because that's what it's all about, folks. And Kenny and I had a long talk. I got to meet with my old pastor and his wife, Wayne Goodall and Linda Goodall down in Connecticut. Spent some great time having conversation with both of them. I was down in Connecticut for 2 days. I went down the day before yesterday, got there mid-afternoon, spent some time with my daughter, my granddaughters, my son-in-law, had an excellent time with them. The whole time I was there, got to visit with some old friends, my friend George Carlino, his brother Anthony Carlino, and his brother Joseph. Joseph I went to school with, but in the latter part of the last, oh, I'll say 25, 30 years, George and I were hanging out and doing a lot together, and he's a little older than me, but I got news for you. George and I are good friends, really good friends, and God bless him. I've seen him again on Facebook. Thank you for technology, Lord. And Anthony's doing well after having lost his wife not too long ago. So I just want to say those are praises that I have for the things that went on while I was out, not to mention the other times wherever I was about and wherever we were sharing the gospel. God's working in miraculous ways right now. So I ask you to pray for, like, Pastor Wayne Goodall and his family. Pray for Haven of Hope. That's something that they're working on down there. It's a ministry he wants to do. Haven of Rest is the church that Pastor preaches. It's in West Haven, Connecticut. Pray for all of the folks going there this morning. Pray for my daughter and her family. And pray, matter of fact, pray for me as a whole, folks, because I got some traveling to do again today that I'll go into another time. I'm going to be traveling for the next week, and I've got some issues going on that have to be dealt with. So please just pray that the Lord will put his hands on my wife and I and provide safety for us and give us a good trip and help everything to go well according to the Lord's plan, and that there be no frustration, no aggravation, nothing get in the way, no mechanical issues. The car will work out well. Everything will go well. We need the Lord's protection upon us. So I'm asking you, please pray for that for me. And then pray that the Lord will work in me to continue to use me to ministry, because I want to be able to grow my ministry. After being only away for 2 days and seeing the Lord's hand in all of this, I'm telling you, folks, I'm just so blessed. Last night we went to a dinner, my daughter and her husband. We went out to a dinner for my sister who had her 40th anniversary. God bless her. Her, my brother-in-law, Jim, good people. And all the family together that was there, and the good time that was had by everyone. It was just a blessing to be around them all. I just thank the Lord for growing Joanne's family and Jim's family in the Lord, that they have these children and they have now all these grandchildren, and it was so fun to watch everybody have a good time yesterday. Got to visit with my aunts and my uncles. Praise God for those that I got to meet, the few that are left. But thank you for getting everyone home safe and taking care of everybody that traveled and all of the people that showed up, and give them a good day today and just let the Lord work in their hearts. So this morning our message is on prayer, folks. I did this, started doing this message at the beginning of the week. So I want you to have this. I think it's important. Prayer is one of the most important things you'll ever have in your whole life. And I'll tell you how I know that's so true. I got home safely. Last night I rode through a rainstorm. I watched people pull over to the side of the road because it was too hard for them to drive in. I kept right on going. The Lord knew I had a plan. I needed to be home at a certain hour. I needed to get some rest. I needed to be able to get up today so I could share the gospel with you. And I know that God answers prayers. because I'm here today to preach the word for you. I wouldn't have made it otherwise. So here's my thought this morning, folks. We're going to go to Luke 18:1. And what I wrote in my notes is this on prayer. Because the Lord said so. Because the Lord said we should pray. That's why prayer is important. Now we should talk. People have said to me, what do I want to talk to God for? He knows everything about my life. It says in the Bible, he knows before I was born. He knows when I'm going to die. He knows everything in between. Why do I need to say anything? Because the Lord said so. Look at here. Chapter 18, verse 1 says, and he spake a parable unto them to this end, that men are always to pray and not faint. Now get this, folks. Pray always and not faint. Pray always and not faint. That means we're supposed to be always praying. Always in conversation with the Lord. Always doing what God asked us to do. And that's his commandment for us. And like I said in the beginning, it says prayer, commandment, sin, and preserve. Well, here's our commandment. Pray. And then he says in the same sentence, and not faint. Well, what does fainting do? Fainting stops, right? If we were to stand in there and faint, we dropped right to the ground. Drop dead, right? Now, doesn't mean we're going to be dead. Just means that we stopped. He says, faint not. That means don't stop. That means to continue in prayer. We should be continually praying and talking to the Lord, having a conversation with God, no matter what the world around us thinks. And I've had many people probably been around me wondering who's he talking to at times, because I do kind of, believe me when I tell you, I'll be having a conversation with the Lord at times. And if you're around me, you'll think I'm talking to somebody, and I've lost my mind. Who's he talking to? Well, I'm talking to the Lord. Now, do I do that all the time? No, I don't walk around like somebody has a psychological issue, schizophrenia or something like that. Absolutely not. But yes, I do talk to the Lord. He says, faint not. That means always. Now, I'm going to go to another scripture in 1 Samuel 12:23. If you go there with me, go to chapter 12, 1 Samuel. That's in the Old Testament. It's about, it's probably in my Bible anyways. It's only about, if we're lucky, an eighth of the way in. Okay? 1 Samuel says this, 12:23 says, moreover, as for me, God forbid that I should sin against the Lord in ceasing to pray for you, but I will teach you the good and the right way. Now, Samuel was saying, listen, I'm going to teach you the right way to pray for things. I'm going to teach you what's right. He said it also, he said, moreover, for me, God forbid that I should sin against the Lord in what? In ceasing to pray for you. That means I'm to pray for people all the time. When I asked for prayer this morning, for these people that are sick, for those that need prayer, and there's plenty, folks. If you don't think that people need prayer, just ask. Ask someone today. Say, can I pray for something for you? Is there anything you can think of that I can ask God to do for you? Even a person who's a non-Christian, if you said to them, I want to pray for you, can I ask what you need, what your needs are, what you would like from God? If you could ask anything of God, and I ask him, sensibly, of course, because God doesn't give us million-dollar mansions. He doesn't give us millions and millions of dollars. Not that we don't have them, because God will give you much and let you use much. He'll give you little, and you'll be able to use little. But God does provide for us, and he answers every prayer, folks, whether you believe it or not. You may think he doesn't because you didn't get the answer. That's an answer. You may say, Lord, I need this, or I'm not feeling good, or I'm sick, or like the people that have certain issues, health issues. They don't get the answer they want. They end up dying. They go home to be with the Lord. You know, sometime in their life, they were asking the Lord, I can't wait to go home to be with you. He answers their prayer. May not be at the time they want. Maybe they're not ready yet. But God says, this is the time, so you don't have to suffer any longer. I'm taking you now, so you don't have to suffer anymore. There's a prayer there, folks, for everyone. Somebody prayed for me. You've heard me say this before. Somebody must have prayed for me at one time, be it my mother, be it my father, be it my sister, be it my family, some friend, somebody I met along the way. Because I would not be who I am today if it wasn't for prayer. That's how powerful prayer is. And it says that, listen, it says that in 23, it says, It would be a sin to stop praying for you. I don't want to sin. You know you don't want to sin. So in order to not sin, we have to talk to the Lord and find out how not to do that, how to do the right thing. Another chapter and verse for you, Philippians 4:6. I'm going to go there. It's quarter after, so I want to make sure I get my time in, because I've got to hit the road today, folks. I really do, and I don't want that to be a problem for me. But you know that we have only so much time in the day, and I only have so much time to share the gospel, one little half hour. So in that little half hour, I hope I touch your soul with God's word. I talked with a gentleman yesterday, this gentleman, Dennis, and he just was not in the right spirit. I'm not going to go down the whole long list of things, but the words I shared with him, my friend Ken, we were sitting there talking before Dennis came along. And after the conversation with Dennis, Kenny said, this guy's aggressive, he's a mean person, he's mean-spirited, blah, blah, blah. After I got done, I sat there and let Dennis spew for a while of all the things that were going on, and then I explained to him my opinion of the situation, we'll say, I'll put it that way. I said to him, Dennis, if you put your life in God's hands, you'll have nothing to be concerned about. No worries, no nothing. He'll send a hundred million angels or whatever it was I said, to stand behind you, and nobody will be able to do anything to you, ever. Okay? He was like, well, I don't know about that. I said, I'm telling you, I know it's true. It says it in the Bible, and I believe it, and that's that. When Dennis walked away after about 20 minutes, a half hour conversation between Kenny and I, Kenny looked right at me and said, I can't believe that. That was divine intervention, Bill. I could tell that that was the Holy Spirit working through you, talking to him, because that man never stops, and he's always got this bad spirit. But for whatever reason, God used me to share the gospel with him and help Dennis to understand some things. And clearly Dennis understood him because he was thinking while I was saying it. Now, he may not have fully understood, but it was penetrating his soul, his spirit, because of the prayers of everyone that's ever worked in his life to get him on the right track. Just like with Kenny. Kenny was probably praying right then and there. I hope he'll let him listen. That's how powerful prayer is, folks. I gave this message a while back, and I said this past week, and I said to the people, back in the older days, this is the sad part about our churches today, we don't spend enough time in prayer. Prayer is so powerful. Our churches don't even do prayer as much as they used to. We used to spend time together in a prayer group to pray for the things that people need and for the church and the church family, and we would have a list of things. We've forgotten what to pray about, folks. We don't pray about our jobs. We don't pray about our families. We don't pray about our children. We don't pray for guidance to give the strength to have the right words without being angry or frustrated or having depression or anxiety. We don't pray for the right guidance from the Lord. Prayer is so important, and yet it's the first thing to go. And then we wonder why our lives fall apart, why the things go on around us, why things don't go the way we expect them to or the way we want them to or the way that God wants them to. Why would God want to help us if we're not going to at least talk to him? If I ignore you all the time, would you bother with me? And in today's world, I see this. I see how it goes. There's no connection for us. There's nobody around because we don't step out of our circle and pray. We're too busy caught up with rushing off to work, too busy rushing home from work, too busy rushing to get meals done, too busy rushing to get on the internet, folks. I seen a family this weekend spend a lot of time on their cell phone. Broke my heart that the family value of talking among one another and spending quality time together, sharing the differences and the concerns of the family, and everybody was on a different device. And yet the family circle is still intact to some degree, but it's fallen apart further and further because they don't put those devices down and spend time together with one another and find out each individual's concerns or their desires or where they want to be in life or how they can fix the things in their life or even better yet, holding hands and praying that the Lord would work in their lives to put down those devices, to be spending time with one another, to show the love for one another, to take away all the frustrations, aggravations, and discomforts of the family. Pray and praise God in his mighty name that he's still helping them. Prayer is so powerful, why would you want to leave it out of your life? It's important, folks. He says, without ceasing. I'm not saying you don't take an hour to go online and talk to friends and spend time. I spend a lot of time online. Right now, doing what I do is an online message. But I do it because I want to reach the souls of others so that they can know how important Jesus is to them and how important they are to the Lord. How important it is that God calls his children back home. All of us are prodigal sons at one time. The Bible gives the story of the prodigal son who walked away from his father. He said, you know what, I've had enough of this, Dad. I don't want to work on the farm no more. I don't want to do this. I want my money. I want to go on an adventure. He says, here's your money. Go. You're old enough to make your own decisions. Here's your inheritance. There's two brothers. One brother stayed behind, the older brother, I guess it was. And he stayed behind, and the father said, look, this is all yours. Your brother got his. He left. Well, one day the brother was wallowing in the slop in somebody else's farm thinking, oh, I got nowhere to live. I'm sleeping in the barn with the animals and the mess, and I got to put up with the smell and the stink, and I got to eat crumbs. I'm a slave to somebody else because I've wasted and squandered my money. What the Bible parable is you're squandering the Lord, and then you are down and out, calling on the Lord, wallowing in the mud, crying out to me, when all you had to do was stay in the family of God and enjoy that inheritance that he has for you. Continue in prayer all the time. The prodigal son one day decides he's had it even with that slop. He's sick of it. He says, there must be a better life for me. I'm going to go back and talk to my dad, see if he'll let me back in the family. And he goes back, and the father sees him in the distance, and he sees him walking, and he's like, I can't believe that's my son. Oh, my word. And he throws his arms up, and he goes running to his son, gives him a big hug, and he realizes his son needs a bath, and he needs good clothes, and he says, take your brother in, get him cleaned up, get him in the best of garments, and give him everything he needs. I'm glad my son's back. Well, the son that was left, that was still with the dad, that always worked with the dad, did everything for the dad, he said to his father, he said, why are you doing that to him? I've been here all this time, and you're going to give him part of my inheritance again? He said, son, I have taken care of you all this time, and I'll take care of you to the end. And you stay with me, and all that I have is yours. He said, he's my son. I'm going to give him all that I have also. And that's just what God does. God lets us walk away. And then when we come back, because we do come back, we will come back. If we are trained up in the way a child should go, which is by scripture, by praying, by talking, by learning, God's faithful and just to forgive us of all our sins, and he says, I welcome you back in because I love you. In Philippians 4:6, it says this, folks, rejoice in the Lord always, and again, I say, rejoice. How do we rejoice if we're not praising his name? How do we rejoice if we're not asking for guidance, if we're not asking for strength, if we're not calling out to the Lord, if we're not praising him every chance we get? For all that he does for us, for all that he loves us, for all that he provides for us. Do you know all the possessions you have that you claim, I worked so hard to have all this, means nothing on the day you die. You're not taking it to heaven with you. In fact, the Bible says it's easier for a poor man to get into heaven than it is for a rich man, meaning the rich man will try, it says something about taking his possessions through the eye of a needle. Rich man can't get his riches through that eye of a needle, no more than when you die, are you going to fit all your possessions inside that box when you go in the ground? Because guess what? When you go to heaven, none of this comes with you. You know why? Jesus said, I go to prepare a place for you. And in heaven, he prepares a mansion so beautiful, everything is there, everything you'll ever need, all the greatest of the greatest. You have the best garments. You have the best place to sleep. You have the most comfortable bed to sit in. You have the most anything. There is nothing you can't imagine that God would not provide for you in heaven. The glorious things that you'll have need and desire of. You won't need any of this down here. It's a waste of our time. It's a waste of our possessions. It's a waste of our energy. But God says, listen, I get it that you want to have enjoyment while you're here. And you get to have that. But he says, I want you to call out to me. I want you to talk to me. I want you to converse with me. Just like we want our children to converse with us. just like we want our families to talk with us. God says, you're my children, please come talk to me. We pray to him, we rejoice, we say, thank you, Lord, for giving us these things. Like you just heard me say, I know prayer works because he got me home safely. I talked to my nephew before I even got online here, and I asked him how they made it home last night, and he said he was home at a reasonable hour, dropped everybody off, everybody made it home safe. We went through a terrible rainstorm last night. He drove through the same weather I did, and we all made it home safe, thank God. People were praying for us. I know they were. We need to be able to praise God for those things. We need to be able to say thank you for preserving us. Thank you for protecting us. Thank you for giving us the opportunity to share the gospel. My last verse for you today is in Matthew 6:33, where it says this, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all things shall be added unto you. You seek God first when you get out of bed in the morning and say, thank you, Lord, for opening my eyes. When your feet hit the floor, thank you, Lord, for letting me touch the floor. Thank you, Lord, for getting me out of bed so I can go have a cup of coffee. Thank you for letting me read your word. You know, there are people today that they can't see any longer. They can't read the word. There are people that can't get up out of bed to have that cup of coffee. There are people that don't have the funding to buy a cup of coffee. There are people that when they get up in the morning, they can't open their eyes. You don't know how good you have it until you no longer have it. There are people that are sick and dying, and you know what? Maybe they wouldn't be if we were praying for them. I don't know that, but God knows that. God says, you know what? Here's an individual that I'm going to take home because he's going to be better off with me than he ever was down there on that planet. God is so good. He answers prayers. And there are people that need our prayers. There are people that need us to talk to the Lord for them. We need to go to Jesus so Jesus can take our prayers to God and say, hey, there's an issue down there, right? Not that God doesn't know it. God knows it. He knows the issues exist. He's no fool. God's no liar. I thank you for coming out and listening to the word. I hope that the message of prayer will get to you. And I hope that you'll spend some time talking to the Lord. Because it says, all those things will be added unto you. And if you look at those scriptures and you do the right thing with the scriptures that I gave you, Luke 18:1 and Samuel and Philippians and Samuel 1:12-23, go look at it, because it's a sin if we don't pray. Now you go look at these things. Samuel said he was going to teach him how to pray. You go look at 1 Samuel, it'll show you things. Philippians, we are to pray about everything. 4:6, it says. Be careful for nothing in 4:6. I'm sorry, I read you a verse that wasn't really in my stuff, but it says here, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and stuff. With thanksgiving, let your request be known unto God. It says, let your request be known unto God. You can't do that without praying. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication. I somehow drifted off of there. Excuse me. Must be because I'm tired. Philippians 4:6, the verses are there, folks, I give you. Luke 18:1, 1 Samuel 12:23, Philippians 4:6, Matthew 6:33. You go look those verses while you're there. Study those chapters that are there. Within that verse, so you get the full context of what the meaning is. And you'll see that God's working in your heart and talking to you. Talk to him. I have one more song left for you, and I know you're going to love it. Folks, it's Jesus, 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 sweetest name I know. Thank you for being here. God bless you. Please, like I said, remember the prayer requests that I asked for. If you can't, go back in archives and write them down, folks. Go back and listen to the message again so you can hear it. God bless you for being here. Thank you. I appreciate it. Have a great day. Jesus, 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 sweetest name I know. Folks, you can find me at William Preacher Bill Barnes over on Facebook. I'm going to ask any questions. Salvation, I'll be glad to try to help you out and point you in the right direction or point you to a church that you can go to where you can get that. Thank you for finding me here and listening to our message. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.